the first one, we asked them that Sharia is the foundation of Somalia. Do you support strongly, slightly, or disagree strongly or slightly? That's the question we asked. 87% of the respondents said they strongly agree on this point. So what do you think, that Sharia is the base for Somalia, according to the Constitution?
In our new Constitution, it basically says the Constitution will be based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, if people responded to that, 87% of the people responded in that regard, then you know, it's natural that we are 100% Muslims, and we believe that the new constitution should be Sharia compliant. Not necessarily that this is Sharia itself, but it should be a Sharia compliant constitution.
The other question we asked was about the role of the women in politics. The question was, women must be included in all elected and appointed positions in all branches of the government. But this question divided the opinion of the people. Only 41% agreed strongly, 21% agreed slightly, but 28% disagreed strongly. Do you think that women can become head of state of Somalia?
Of course, why not? What prevents them from becoming head of the state? You know, the women is the 50% of the more than 50% of the Somali population, and they deserve a better treatment than what we have been accorded to them in the last few years. So we believe that they are a big component of the labor force of Somalia, and they deserve to be part of all the branches of the government, whether it's in the legislative, judicial, or the executive branch of the government. At the same time, there's nothing that denies them from becoming leaders. There are so many Muslim countries in the world where women were rulers, including Bangladesh, you know, Pakistan, and some other countries. So there's nothing in Islam or in Sharia that prevents them from becoming leaders in their communities, and they were during the Prophet's time and during the heydays of the Islamic ruling.
The opposition to women becoming the head of state is mostly coming from the religious leaders. How do you think your government can convince the religious leaders with regard to this profession?
What is that supposed to mean? Because there's nothing in religion or Islam that says that women cannot be leaders. But I totally disagree with that notion. Well, then they have to provide a proof that it's contrary to our belief, to the religion of Islam. But, you know, I think this is mainly coming from male chauvinism in Somalia, not necessarily from religion.
The one other question we asked was whether they preferred a very strong central government compared to less powerful government. And 83% of the respondents said they would prefer a very strong central government, although Somalia and the constitution adopts the federal system. What do you make of that?
Sure. This contradiction in terms. Somalia now opted for a federal system. And the reason being, there should be both horizontal separation of powers and vertical separation of powers. So the power of the state should be horizontally divided into legislative, executive, and judiciary. At the same time, the power of the state should be divided vertically, whereby you have the federal state and the local government. And the whole point of opting for federalism is to protect the sovereignty of the Somali individual. So we opted for that because centralization of power has failed us previously. That's why when in 1991 the capital of Mogadishu, Somalia, collapsed, then every other state of Somalia collapsed. Why? Because we had a centralization of power in Mogadishu. That should not happen again. On the other hand, the fear is that people might interpret federalism into clanism or into regionalism, which it should not be. So that's the concern of so many Somalis. They support federalism, but at the same time, they don't want federalism to be translated into regionalism and clanism. So that's the fear. That's why probably some of them now are saying, okay, Somalia, federalism might not be an appropriate model of governance in Somalia.
Also, it seems that most of the people we spoke to suggest they believe that the constitution should be adopted and ratified through national referendum, although the government and the international community wanted the constitution to be adopted by constituent assembly. But 61% of the people we spoke to think that it should be adopted through national referendum. What do you think?
Of course, that's what the ideal situation will be, for the constitution to be adopted through referendum. But can we do that now? No, because we have to secure the country, we have to stabilize the country, we have to make take census, and then we can adopt the constitution through referendum. Remember, in the 1960 May, 110 members ratified the constitution. And then in 1961, June, we adopted the constitution through referendum. So it takes, now we're going to adopt the constitution by proxy through constituent assembly. But later on, of course, we have to adopt it through referendum after stabilization and after the liberation of the country from al-Shabaab. And after we, for example, take census and make sure that everyone can vote.
My final question, we have been doing this survey since April this year. We spoke to, as I mentioned it, more than 3,000 people, and we asked them about provisions in the constitution. Do you think this kind of surveys could have impact, or do you think they did have impact
sure.
on educating Somalis about the constitution?
Of course, of course. This is what we need really to do, because this is how people are acquainted with the constitution. This is how people usually be able to understand the contentious issues in the constitution. So I really support this kind of survey, and I think this is the way it should be done.